before we get to the Lord's Supper, I'm going to close out this morning the book of Jude. We've been looking at apostasy and what it looks like, how it is impacting the lives of those that are close to apostates. And today we're going to close that out and then celebrate the Lord's Supper and His love for us and move into a day where we feel refreshed and full of joy because we know God has saved us from sin. How many of you know God saved you from sin? Amen. Amen. Well, I'll ask that you turn with me to the book of Jude. And I am going to read beginning in verse number 5. And I do ask that you stand with me in honor of God's word. Beginning in verse number 5, book of Jude. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. And as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Father, we thank you again for this day. Lord, we thank you for your words that teach us and warn us, that strengthen us and opened our eyes to the truth. And Father, you have told us if we will know your word, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And freedom in you, Lord, is what we ask. We ask to know the truth, even if it is painful to us, so that we can find forgiveness, so that we can know the joy of our salvation fully and every day. But more than that, so that we can honor you as you have honored us. And Father, I ask, help us and strengthen us in this time to your glory alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated. I know that we looked at these verses last week, and these are just the introductory verses before we move into the lesson for today. And it's a reminder of the character of the apostate, what they are always after, and it is self-seeking motives that drive them. But there is something else that we also need to see, and that is what they bring to the body of Christ, which I'm just going to tell you is this. It is nothing worthwhile. Apostates don't bring anything worthwhile to the body of Christ. And Jude is going to explain that. In fact, I am going to begin reading in verse number 12 to pick up with our lesson today. And I invite you to turn to that if you would like to follow along. Beginning in verse 12, he is continuing about apostates. And he says, these are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea foaming up their own shame, and wandering stars, for whom is reserved the darkness forever. This is what an apostate brings to the body of Christ. And I say it again, it is nothing worthwhile. They have no substance. I mean, they are busy and they are active and they appear to have everything that we are looking for in Christians, but what they are all about is self serving motives. In fact, we look and see the very first thing he talks about in this is that they are spots in your love feast. Now, he is telling us that they would sit down and eat with the body of Christ in what is supposed to be the most joyous and the closest moment we can share together in a feast, even remembering the Lord and His sacrifice for us, the Lord's Supper, which we are participating in today. They will sit down without shame and participate outwardly, but inwardly denying the Lord Jesus Christ. They stain themselves before the eyes of God as they stain others that they get to follow them, to participate with them, to be with them. Now, isn't it a shame to think that there are people in the body of Christ that are like this? And some may not even be aware, because they've never heard these words before. But how can they be sanctified if they've never heard these words before? Because to be sanctified means that we are in God's Word. In fact, we looked at that a couple of weeks ago. You remember? We are sanctified through the Word of God. God's Word that teaches, that pierces even our own hearts to show us and to teach us who we are compared to who we think we are, to help us align ourselves with God's will and to be what He wants us to be. And it's hard, isn't it? It is hard to look in the mirror and say, oh no, I am that thing that I hate most. But God's Word causes us, it pulls us to do that before we ever look at another. Why do we look at the splinter in someone else's eye? We can't even see the plank in our own. And so before we go into the Lord's Supper today, the challenge to all of us that are here is this: are we doing it in remembrance of His love for us? And are we loving Him and thanking Him with a true heart? Is that what we're doing when we participate with this Lord's Supper today? They stain themselves in the manner in which they stain others. They will give account to God. How many of you know that sin does not go unpunished? It might go unrecognized. It never goes unpunished. It might go unrecognized by those that are around it and surrounded by it, but it is never unrecognized by God, and it will never go unpunished by God. God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. They are spots in your love feast. God is saying to us in His Word that it might even be a dangerous thing if we recognize someone who is of the character and of the nature of an apostate to celebrate with them, because it makes a blemish on our worship to Him. Boy, those are strong words. Those are words that should be thought about, pondered upon. They are words to help us draw closer to God. How many of us came in today wanting to blemish ourselves and be a blemish on the celebration that we share together with God? I certainly didn't. I don't think that you have either. If you have, God knows. An account will be called and given. But it's not just that they are spots on our celebrations. It gets worse. They are clouds without water, carried about by the wind. Now, I want you to think about this. They look full of promise, like they're going to provide and be the thing that that church body needs, but they have no water, and they breeze right on by. They cannot quench the thirst of the soul that is seeking living water in Christ. How many of you love to see the clouds up in the sky like we saw this morning? I talked with a couple. Big, dark clouds just rolling around out there. No rain whatsoever. No rain. No water to supply the ground, to give nourishment to the plants, and none to give to those in the body of Christ. Oh, it looks promising. You know, a nice dark rain cloud looks promising, especially when there's no lightning and thunder going on. You enjoy a good summer rain. And the freshness that is in the air after a good summer rain, they bring nothing. They have no water. And Jesus is the living water. And they can't even bring that to the table. There's no refreshing moments with them. Think about it. Is it always grumbling and moaning, complaining, pointing out why this needs to be changed or why that needs to be changed? They might even say it like this: I'm a realist. And God has something else to say. And I saw something quite funny this past week or two. I want to share this with you. I saw this on Facebook. Y'all might have seen it. And it was addressed to the, how did it go? Hold on with me one second. It was addressed to those who are realists, pessimist, and what are those that are always happy about every optimist? Y'all know any optimists? I have a hard time saying that word. I'm not an optimist. I'm a realist. To the optimist, the pessimist, and the realist, while you were arguing about the water in the glass, I drank it. The opportunist. Signed, the opportunist. That's kind of humorous, isn't it? But you know, that's the way the apostate is. An opportunist. They don't really bring anything, but they'll take everything they can. They are a spot on our celebrations. They don't have any water to quench those souls that are thirsting for the living water of Christ. They have nothing that they can bring. And they are like a fruit tree that does not bear fruit. I've had fruit trees like that before. Have you? You buy a fruit tree and you think, boy, this thing's just going to have pretty leaves. That's why I got it. Is that why you get a fruit tree? Just for the leaves that... No, I buy a fruit tree because I want to enjoy the fruit that's supposed to come from the tree. And the apostate is like this. They like a fruit tree, and you have so much hope again and expectation again, but there's no fruit. It's dead where it matters. And then you pull it up by the roots, and it's twice dead. Spiritually dead is what God is saying. The apostate will be judged. What a harsh, harsh thing to think about. But this is what it's about. And not only are they clouds without water, trees without fruit, they are raging waves in the sea. But all they have is foam. Froth on the beach. How many of you have ever seen froth on the beach? It's nothing. And you think about a raging wave and you think about the power that should be in it and the harm that it might be able to cause those who know God and know God's word and can recognize these things. It might even cause a little bit of fear. I've got to stand against the power of what I'm seeing and the roaring of what I'm hearing. But when you finally make a stand, you find out it is nothing but froth. It hits you with the impact of a gnat flying as fast as it can. You don't even feel it. Oh, it might be annoying. It's froth. No water, no fruit. Full of froth and a wandering star. Now I want you to think about this. Because people use the stars to navigate. But if you don't know a star's fixed in position, how can you navigate by that star? And if they are wandering stars, they're nothing more than a comet, a shooting star, something that makes a bright light for a short period of time as it's zipping across and moving on. You can't find your bearing. You can't find your destination. You can't get to your goals. You cannot find life in Christ by following a wandering star. What do apostates bring to the body of Christ? Nothing that is worthwhile. Nothing that is worthwhile. They look like a bright light, something you should follow, but Jesus is the light of the world. And that's the light we're asking to shine on us. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. You remember what I said just a moment ago about being sanctified? We're sanctified through the Word of God. And if we know the Word of God, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free, and it will guide our steps. It is a light unto my path. Light unto my path. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And if there is no substance of Jesus in these individuals, they are not worth following. I don't know how to say it any plainer than that. I will say it like this. In a debate with an individual over the last couple of weeks who doesn't like the phrase, "You're going to hell." You know what? I don't like that phrase either. Because that is a statement based in judgment. And who judges? God judges. I can't tell you that someone's going to hell. God's the only one that can decide that someone is going to hell. But I can say this. You are walking awfully close to the eternal fires and damnation that comes in hell with the things that you do. Now that's a warning shot. That's not a judgment, is it? You're walking awfully close to those eternal fires and the damnation that comes with hell. That's what I'm saying to myself, and that's what I'm saying to you and to anyone who will hear this. Open your eyes and see where you are in your relationship with Christ. First, it's not about your relationship with the people you sit beside. It's about your relationship with Christ. And it begins in your heart. And the admission of sin and the seeking of forgiveness and finding it in Christ. It's not a program. It's not a song. It is Jesus Christ alone. So when we celebrate, it is a show or is it real? When we sing, are we celebrating? Are we just making a harmonious noise? When we shine for the world to see, is it something that God's going to want to put a basket over in the day of judgment? Can we hand someone a glass of water and know that the water is coming from the living water of Christ. See, this is the challenge for us as believers, to ask ourselves, what is my intention? What is my effort in all of this about? Is it for me? Or is it for the body? Is it for Christ? Because if it's not for Christ, then what is it for? And will it be of any use? See, this is what an apostate brings to the body. But you, beloved, as he closes out, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. But you, my beloved, you know what to do. Seek fellowship with Christ. Seek it, seek it, seek it. Strengthen your faith and continue in your prayer and walk with God. Don't be afraid to say, this is wrong. Sin is sin. God's already told us in the last days that these things were coming and that there would be people that would say to us that good is evil and evil is good. But you, beloved, don't be afraid to stand and say, wait a minute. There's something you need to know. Let me help you see why you're wrong. Why evil is evil and good is good. But you, beloved, build up your faith and continue in your prayers, and God will guide you and bless you. And in closing, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. May God keep you. May the words that have been shared today strengthen you. Maybe even show you a flaw in yourself that you can find forgiveness for in Christ, correction for in Christ, and move forward in the fullness of the joy he so wants you to have. His joy. His joy. Forever and ever. Amen. May he keep you. I do pray that you know Christ as Lord and Savior. I do pray that you know the joy of forgiveness of sins. And I do pray that you can move forward in life knowing that God is with you and that you are with God. That's the relationship. It's not just God tagging along. It's us following him. May God help you and bless you in this. Strengthen you for whatever he has planned for you, so that you may honor him as he has honored you. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to give you the chance before we go into the Lord's Supper today to come and to find that peace and that forgiveness. That forgiveness that leads to life in Jesus. Will you come while there's time? Father, I thank you so much for the time that you have given to us. Lord, that you do strengthen us. Lord, that you do prick our hearts from time to time to get our attention, to remind us who we are and what our life should be about. And I thank you, Father, that you are always there to help us and strengthen us in forgiveness and in mercy and in grace. And Father, I pray that for all of us today, forgiveness, mercy, and grace, to your glory alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you come? Just